This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, all right, looks like a foggy, cloudy morning in San Diego. I love that we have windows here at 97.3 The Fan at our Entercom Empire studio.
It's my first studio with windows.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, at our old place, we were like in the middle of the building, no windows. You had no idea what was going on outside.
None
dark,
whatsoever.
Light, rainy, sunny.
Yeah.
Here, beautiful, looking out. Southward toward Mission Valley.
Also, the carpets are clean in here.
Oh, the carpets were so dirty.
So dirty.
I mean,
disgusting.
Just nasty.
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 Mites all over them, probably.
Mites.
Bugs, lice, crabs, all sorts. Like, not crabs, like those crabs. Actual crabs.
Like stone
from,
crabs.
Like crabs crawling around from the ocean, crawling around our studio. I mean, it was really... You never knew what you might see in there.
It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. We are still wishing our very best to our executive producer, Paul Reindl. Do we know? Did he get released from the hospital, or is he still there?
I don't know. I know he stayed overnight, so I'm assuming he's probably
all
still
right,
there.
So he's
I think
probably still there.
Let him out by noon or
something.
Yeah,
when we went to visit him yesterday, there was some talk that maybe by the end of the day he might get to go home, but he wasn't. It's like, if they make me stay here another day, this has been somewhat comfortable as he recovers from his gallbladder removal surgery. So now post-gallbladder days for Paul Reindl, and hopefully he'll be back next week.
Yeah.
But wish him a good recovery.
Yeah, recovery.
Recuperating.
Recuperation.
Recuperation.
Recuperation. Yeah, it's good. He needs to get well. I don't want him back here struggling. You know, come back when you're ready to come back, Benny. This is interesting to me. You're doing something today that it would be essentially my biggest nightmare. You're doing a potential client golf outing.
I am. I've actually never done business golf
before. Really?
All my golf in my life has been basically for pleasure.
Pleasure.
I mean, I've played competitively, so... You know, in college.
A humble brag if I've ever heard one. Yeah.
Actual, you know, like serious competition.
Yes.
And I've certainly played in charity events and just, you know, for fun and yucking it up with people I don't know. But to actually, like, go on a, like, a client meeting to play a little golf.
I've always wondered about the business golf outing. So if I'm the client and I go and I say, all right, I'm going to play golf today with the rep from Entercom, and I'm going to play with Ben Higgins from The Morning Show. I'm probably going to buy the station. I'm probably going to invest some money in you know, 97.3 The Fan.
Which I guess is what we want.
That's what
I mean. That's my goal, right?
So is the goal of the business golf to... He's not judging your golf, though. But you're a good golfer. If you go out and have a monster round, is he going to be like... Now, that's a guy I want to be in business with.
I don't know.
With.
Or am I supposed to lose graciously and, like, let him win?
Yeah, like Mr. Mom.
Yeah,
he threw it
win.
At
let
the end.
Let the client
Let the client win. Do you need to let the client win?
I have
win?
No idea. I've never done this before. So now you're making me nervous.
Well, do you think you could throw it? Do you have it in you to
I
throw
don't know.
It?
No, that would be tough.
Now, what if the client is horrible?
Why? I've heard he's a good golfer.
Okay, that's so good. That's, because why would a client want to go out and play golf if he's not good? But I wonder if... You know, if you go out and have a crap round, if he's like, I don't want to do business with this guy, he's kind of a load, you know? He doesn't even swing the wrenches
very well.
So now
pressure, I've got to play well.
So I think you go out and...
Get a deal done.
I think you go out
and... Or do I just have to be charming? It doesn't really matter how I play.
I think you just...
That's the hard part. Really? Have we just finished the show? I'll probably be exhausted.
You will be,
charming
exhausted.
For 4.5 hours on a golf course. And
4.5 is generous. Probably more like 6.
I hope not.
When I
certainly
play.
Hope not.
But I think you go out there, you be your genuine, affable self. I think he's going to like you. I think he's going to buy the station, and you make a lot of money off of it. That's the ultimate goal. But I've always been fascinated with that. So many deals get done on the golf course. I know my dad has done like multi-million-dollar deals out on the golf course. And I think you go out and play your game.
I've never done a single deal on a golf course in my life.
Until today.
So this might be the first one. Looking forward to it, but a little nervous just about how it's going to go.
I like that. And I know you're a good golfer. For me, it would be a nightmare because I'm terrible. I would say, hey, are we doing best ball? Because I don't need to hit a drive, but I'll putt and chip and all that. But that would be a nightmare for me.
All right. So hopefully we've got baseball today. Have we heard any news on Yankee Stadium drying out and if the weather's going to clear up enough for them to get Game 4 of the American League Championship Series in?
Yeah, from what I understand, the game will go on. The show will go on tonight at Yankee Stadium. It is going to be chilly. It is going to be windy, very windy there. Wind is blowing in pretty hard right now, so it's a must win. It is an absolute must win for the Yankees. They have to do this. They were helped a little bit by yesterday. They're going to get Masahiro Tanaka back. He's been phenomenal in the postseason. Want to keep that rolling right
now. Instead
of
a bullpen day,
yeah,
it's going to be Zach Greinke against Masahiro Tanaka.
Yep.
Now, Tanaka's been great, but the one advantage the Yankees may have over the Astros is that deep bullpen. Like, bullpen days weren't the worst thing for the Yankees. That's what they were going to have.
They actually did pretty well with that, but I'd rather have Tanaka out there for sure. All day.
Yeah, and Greinke has not been super strong in
no.
the postseason.
I mean,
looks like the most vulnerable of the Astros starters.
Yeah, the Yankees need to win this game. They have to win. It's a must win.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm a nervous wreck.
Yeah, technically they're not out of it if they lose, but you're down 3-1. Still facing Verlander and Cole in 2 games in Houston. Good luck.
Good luck.
So, yeah, it's as must-win of a technically non-elimination game as you're probably going to get.
And I think Boone manages this one tonight like it's Game 7. I really do. You gotta do what you got to do. You got to win this game tonight at all costs and then let the chips fall where they may. I'm interested in seeing what the lineup looks like. It's got to be different, and it's great because we're gonna have Aaron Boone's brother on, Brett, today, and I want to get his thoughts on just how the series has gone so far, and if he could grade his brother, how that will go.
Our playoff analyst Brett Boone going to be with us at 8 o'clock this morning, calling in here to Ben and Woods. So Dan is calling us up.
Yeah,
he's got advice for me
on
business golf. So I feel like I need to take this call.
I agree 100%.
Because I do need some help here because I've never done it before. So, Dan in El Cajon, welcome to Ben and Woods. What do you got for me?
So, it's been my experience that you golf with a business associate or a customer, maybe a prospect or a client. Really, it's everyone's character is on display more than anything. They want to see if you use the old foot wedge or, you know, so basically just go out there. I mean, I mean, you played competitively, so I feel like it's redundant to say, but really more than your score, they're just going to be judging the way you conduct yourself on the course.
Integrity is paramount.
So Ben.
Yeah.
Ben,
yeah.
No cocaine on the course
and
today.
And decorum.
Etiquette
and decorum. No cocaine between holes, as I know you like
walk,
to do.
Don't walk in their line.
Yeah. Don't get hammered out there, Ben.
Don't make noises in their backswing.
Yeah.
Noonan. None of that.
Miss it. It's my favorite part of that whole movie.
I think you'll be the perfect guy to go out golfing with a client. Ben.
Okay, good. Well, I think that's why they're bringing me in, not me. Dan.
Ben's like, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't get invited. I'm like, thank God. If all of our sales reps are listening, don't ever invite me for a golf outing. Please, I'm begging you.
All right, so no winter rules, lie improvement, no foot wedges during the round today.
Why don't you improve your lie a little bit there, sir?
But if the client wants to do so, I didn't see it, right?
Yeah, you didn't say a word.
No, I didn't see anything.
Don't get all high and mighty with the client. But no, that is a good way to judge somebody's character. It really is on the golf course. And I know you'll play the game straight up. But also, yeah, go kick his ass.
All right, speaking of cheating, getting back to the American League Championship Series, some accusations out of the Yankees that the Houston Astros basically are cheating. And this is not new, Woodsy. The Astros have been accused of this in the past.
Well, they've actually been caught for
it. Well, they've been caught. Well, it's can you really be caught doing something that is always kind of on that ethical borderline in baseball? And that's sign stealing and signaling to your teammates what you've learned.
There's a few teams. So the Red Sox had the thing years ago with the Apple Watch. We all remember the Apple Watch. They were relaying signs. The Blue Jays had something where a camera was discovered in the Sky Dome. There's all kinds of little things. I am 100% in favor of in-game. If I'm on second base and I know what that guy's throwing, yeah, you give a pat or a lean or you touch your helmet, whatever. It's been done a million times.
I mean, they had the whole
times.
Pitch tipping
yep.
That was going on.
And if you can pick up somebody's, it's like in poker. If you go to your nose every time you have if you're going to bluff me, should I be like, you know what? It's not ethical to use that. No, I figured out when you throw your slider, you hold your glove this way.
Do you eat the Oreo or do you just play
you
with
just
it?
Just play with it. You just take the cream out of the Oreo. That's okay. But where the lines for me get a little bit blurred is when you've got guys in, like what happened to the Astros last year. The Red Sox found out they were, what did they have? They had a guy in the other camera well taking pictures.
It's like somebody sitting with the press people almost with another camera.
Yes. Yeah. And
from a vantage point that normally you wouldn't get.
Correct.
You know,
and that to me, I think
if you spot it from your own dugout, you spot it from the field where you're supposed to be. You think that's okay?
Well, we remember Spygate, right?
You can't, Bill Belichick.
You can't do that. That is why they got banged for Spygate.
Now, I don't know what the Astros are accused of how they're seeing the signals, but what the Yankees didn't like in Game One was how they were signaling it out there with like a whistling noise.
The
is
whistling,
what they thought.
Yeah, it's very weird and it's very petty, and it's all I think gamesmanship. At the end of the day, you don't want to be the team that gets their ass kicked and says, "Well, they were whistling." And it's like, come on, guys. You're the friggin' New York Yankees, man. Like, you've got really good players, too. Do something to them. I don't understand why, like, instead of being like, here would be me if I was a manager. All right, guys, I want you all out there tonight. I want you touching your nose. I want you grabbing your ear. I want you grabbing your crotch. I want you jumping up in the air, clicking your spikes together. Anything to get in their dome.
False flags.
False flags. Do it. Do whatever you want. And I'm going to ask, and when Brett Boone comes on, I'm going to ask him. Like, where is the line? Because for me, when you use technology, that's the line. You don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's BS. That's Bush League. If I'm out there on second base and I'm leaning because they're looking away and my batter can get an advantage, fine. Done.
I guess my problem is that every baseball player seems to have draws their line in a slightly different place. Like, some people think it's not okay for the guy out at second base to look in at the catcher where he's positioned and give a tip to the batter.
You know who doesn't think it's okay? The pitcher. The pitchers get really mad. Like, if they think that they're – remember Alex Wood. Alex Wood against the Padres lost his mind that one time because he thought – I can't remember who it was. Somebody was, like, leaning one way or the other, in, out, up,
down. I remember that. I want to say it was like...
Was it Kemp?
It was... was it that long ago?
It was that long ago, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but I remember Alex Wood.
I feel like it wasn't
out.
Someone that veteran. It was more of a rookie-type player who was kind of bounces around. And
somebody will tell
you
us...
You really think he's paying that close attention out there? I don't think he is.
Somebody will tell us on Twitter who it was, but... no, it just... that, to me, is gamesmanship, and I think I don't consider that cheating at all. And if they're dumb enough to tip their pitches or they're dumb enough to not have multiple sets of signs... That's on them. It's not on you. If you can pick up a tell, you use it. But you don't use cameras.
Yeah. Ben Woods this hour brought to you by our friends at 7 Mile Casino. And 97.3 The Fan invites you to join former Aztecs men's basketball coach Steve Fisher, along with Brian Dutcher and the SDSU men's basketball team, for the annual Walk to Defeat ALS. It's coming up this Sunday, October 20th, 8 a.m. at Mission Bay's De Anza Co. For more info, just go to ALSASD.com. .org. Woodsy, Don't Do This is coming up next.
It was Perella, by the way.
Jose Perella.
Jose Perella.
There you go.
So, Don't Do This. Yeah, if there was a guy in the NFL that I was going to punch in the face, it wouldn't be this guy. I'll tell you that next on Don't Do This.
All right, it is Ben and Woods.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ben and Woods here at 97.3 The Fan, coming up in just about 10 minutes. Our weekly Mort Report with ESPN's Chris Mortensen. I know he'll have some thoughts on the Rams dealings this week and get you ready for what? Are we week 7 already? We're almost halfway through the football season. Gosh, it goes fast. It goes very fast. But before you know it, it's going to be spring training.
Oh, I can't wait for spring training. My
baseball's going to be back. It's not even over yet. It's going to be back. Right now, though, let's get to our three sports stories that make you shake your head. It is time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, just a reminder, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called. You could be our biggest fan of the day. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back. Win a 4-pack of tickets today to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort. Also, you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing for a Las Vegas getaway. Got show tickets at Caesars, at the Cosmopolitan, the Atomic Saloon Show. That is coming up, our biggest fan, before the end of the hour. Right now, though, don't do this, and we will start in Alabama. Freshman Connor Bruce Kroll.
God, I love this story.
Was arrested in Tuscaloosa on Sunday morning after cops say he called in a false bomb threat to LSU's Tiger Stadium.
Good God.
According to police, Kroll did so because he wanted to get the game canceled to save his friend a bunch of money.
What?
Yeah. He's being held in Tuscaloosa County Jail pending charges after being listed as a fugitive from justice. According to the Tuscaloosa News, an Alabama spokesperson told the news, threats and pranks can have serious ramifications and necessitate an appropriate response. Now, how do you save money by getting the game canceled?
They would wipe out the bet?
I guess so. So they say his friend was on the verge of losing a very large bet. So I guess he was hoping that if the game got canceled, they would refund his money on the bet that he had made.
How much? Like, I've done a lot of dumb stuff. A lot of dumb stuff. That one, to me, takes the cake. If I did, that is like, that's so egregiously dumb. I can't even wrap my head around it, Ben. speaking of egregiously dumb, there's a lot of guys in the NFL, all of them pretty much, that I would not want to go toe-to-toe with. I can't think of one guy in the NFL I'd be like, yeah, I'd fight him. Maybe number one on that list. Well, Aaron Donald's number one. Miles Garrett is probably 1A, one of the most physical specimens that you will ever see. He was in his car yesterday, Ben, driving to work, I'm assuming, and a fan noticed him and saw him, flagged him down. Miles, Miles, Miles. Miles is like, what's up, man? He parks his car. The guy pulls up behind him, walks up to the front. He's like, bro, love you. Can I get a picture with you? Miles Garrett's like, well, this is pretty irregular, but yeah, let's do it. Guy leans in. They take a selfie. The window's cracked. As the guy wraps up taking the selfie, he turns and he punches Miles Garrett in the face, right in the chin.
So now I'm starting to wonder, was he actually a fan of Miles Garrett? Because normally when you're a fan of someone,
you don't punch them.
You don't punch him in the face.
You don't punch him anywhere.
Really? No, it's true. Maybe in the shoulder, like, hey, man, good to see you.
Right.
But not in the face.
So the guy gets back in his car. He speeds away. Now, Miles Garrett calmly took the man's license plate number, gave it to officers. They have arrested the guy. He's 24 years old. He's from Strongsville, Ohio. And just because you're from Strongsville, it doesn't make you strong.
That's how they greet people in Strongsville.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what we do. We just punch you in the face.
From Strongsville.
It's one of the weirder, and actually, if you think about it, we're laughing about it. It's pretty terrifying. It's really terrifying to think that a guy had that kind of access and Miles kind of let that guy in. I bet you Miles Garrett now is a little more careful about what he does. Because that could have gone really poorly.
But the response by Miles Garrett was great. Did you see his quote? He said, what did he say? It was great. He said, hey, maybe if you put your legs in it, it might have actually made me flinch.
Might have flinched.
Love that.
I mean, why would you do that? That is just, it's a really creepy story. And I'm glad he's okay because he's a badass, man. And he did, Ben, refused medical treatment at the scene. So there you go. It shows you the kid from Strongsville did not pack much of a punch.
All right, finally on Don't Do This, I'm going to give one to the coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, former Bill Belichick assistant. He, along with Zach Taylor, who we talked about earlier, still winless in their head coaching career. But that's not the Don't Do This. Usually, as a head coach, you're trying to set a tone of some consistency. You want your message to have some authority. Well, last week, Brian Flores announced that Josh Rosen was going to be his starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
They tried Ryan Fitzpatrick. It didn't work. That lasted, just part of the game against Washington, because then he pulled Josh Rosen and put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in. But after the game, he came back and said, yeah, I know I did that, but still, Josh Rosen is my starter for the rest of the season. Until yesterday, when he named Ryan Fitzpatrick as his starter for this week's game in Buffalo.
That's that leadership that you're looking for in a head coach. I mean, that strong decision-making that you want every time.
Yeah, a little indecisive,
little
Brian.
Bit.
That's not the great. I mean, you're already behind the eight ball coaching the Miami Dolphins in full tank mode. But at the least, you could try to be consistent in your coaching message.
Is there a time to do a bonus one real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
How about the LPGA golfer? Did you see this one? She was assessed 58 penalty strokes at this week's senior LPGA championship. Did you see?
I did not see this. I'm fascinated.
Leanne Walker. You know Leanne Walker?
I remember the name.
Playing a tournament in French Lick, Indiana, home of Larry Bird. She was assessed 58 penalty strokes in the tournament's first two rounds. She did miss the cut, Ben. Had you taken...
Can I guess what would have caused that?
Sure.
Did she have, like, an extra club in her bag or something? Or what was going on that you could have that many penalty strokes?
Her caddy lined up a player, which was a two-shot penalty. They were assessed after Walker realized during the second round she was violating the new rule, which was implemented at the start of this year. A fellow competitor's caddy informed Walker midway through the second round she was breaking the rule, so she got penalty strokes for every hole she played.
It.
Yeah, every time they did it. 42 shots to her first round score and another 16 in the second
round. Amazingly, she still went on and won the tournament.
She did not. No, she missed the cut, obviously. And if you took the 58 penalty strokes away, she misses the cut by one.
Oh,
so.
Well, yes. Actually, 58. I'd probably be glad about that.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I'd want. I would have won.
58
penalty
strokes.
And that is Don't Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
What does Chris Mortensen think about the future of football in L.A., given the lack of fans? Well, there's plenty of Steelers fans, that's for sure. That is one of our topics coming up next on our Mort Report. Stay tuned. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. About to be joined by ESPN's Chris Mortensen here on Ben and Woods. Talking football, week 7 of the NFL season begins tonight in Denver. Before we get to Mort, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Suda Vincent.
Morning, guys. This report brought to you by Tenant Planet. CHP in the final clearing stages with a crash here on southbound 15 at Syndergore Point just north of Via Rancho Parkway. But a series of earlier wrecks have South 15 just stop and go from north of Deer Springs. Also, watch for a hazard on South 15 north of Carmel Mountain, reportedly in the fast lane. CHP's checking whether it's debris or a stall. Trying to get into downtown, West 94 really jammed all the way back from Lemon Grove, 5 north from E Street in Chula Vista. Tenant Planet offers premium property management at $79 a month, flat fee. No matter the size or value of the home, you pay $79 a month for full service property management. Visit tenantplanet.com to learn more. That's tenantplanet.com. Sue D with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
No one is more dialed into the world of football than ESPN's Chris Mortensen. It's time for the Mort Report, presented by Hamul Casino with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Love Thursdays. That means we talk to Mort. We got him on the line now with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Mort, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing pretty great. Pretty good. Yeah. Getting fired up for the weekend. Let's first go back. One of the things we talked about a lot, not surprisingly, was the kind of embarrassing scene last Sunday night at Carson, where the Pittsburgh Steelers fans just overran Dignity Health Sports Park, and the Chargers ended up losing to the Steelers in that game. I know Roger Goodell was asked about it at the owners' meetings yesterday. He said, it's not that big of a deal. You know, there's a lot of good fan bases out there that travel. I refuse to believe, though, Mort, that it's not at least somewhat embarrassing for the league as a whole. It's certainly embarrassing for the Chargers, but even for the league as a whole, to have a team in a market where they are not wanted, where they're not popular, and haven't gotten more popular really in their three seasons now in Los Angeles. What are you hearing? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you probably know what I think. I never thought the league should have – I thought everything should have been worked out in San Diego, and I can't point fingers. You guys do that, but I know this much. Everybody I know was disappointed that the Chargers left San Diego. Everybody. And what's happening in Carson, you know, last year there actually was a little bit of a split crowd. We're talking about, a 30,000-seat stadium. So, I mean, that's
yeah, they had like 15,000, 16,000 fans, Chargers fans, some games last year.
Yeah, how about that? But, you know, as far as Steelers fans traveling, listen, it's not that Steelers fans travel. They've been transplanted everywhere, and they'll tell you that. Whenever I say it's not that they're traveling, they're actually – they actually live in Southern California, and they have you know, so Steelers fans are there, and you know, when they look at the schedule back in April, they buy up those tickets as quickly as they can buy them up, yep. And they show up, or they buy them on StubHub or wherever the market, you know, Vivid or whoever. And then the other thing is that I know internally those players, they prefer playing on the road right now because they'd rather have 50 or 60,000 hostile fans against them. That makes them feel like it's truly them against the world. It is demoralizing, though, when it's your home stadium and you see that. And, you know, as far as the solution goes, you know, listen, they're committed. And even from a financial angle, they've got to play in L.A. when they move to that new stadium next year. And it will be fascinating or maybe predictable as to what's going to happen there.
And it's interesting. I always wonder, you guys, you know, sitting around watching the games together at ESPN headquarters, Morton, are you guys just sitting there shaking your heads at some of the things you see out of the LA Chargers, or is this just kind of the reality that we're all faced with and we're all going to have to shut up and deal with it at some point?
Well, no, we don't sit there and shake our heads. Actually, when everybody says, boy, aren't those uniforms great?
Well, you got Boomer back, so I mean, of course, yeah.
Well, it's everybody. Listen, it's everybody. I mean, Boomer wants to lay claim to it, so we'll let him. But everybody around the league, other fan bases love those uniforms. And so we sit there and I think it's just so expected that this is the way it's going to be that nobody's having any outrage. I mean, occasionally you'll hear, well, this is just ridiculous. I mean, we believe it's ridiculous that San Diego doesn't have the Chargers playing in it. I mean, we feel that way. I do not believe anything's going to change. I wish it would.
Well, Mort, speaking of L.A., while Tom Telesco kind of sits on his hands, Les Snead is bold once again, pulling off a couple of trades earlier this week. Of course, Marcus Peters heading to the Ravens, and then the big deal, Jalen Ramsey, coming to the Los Angeles Rams. What did you think about the moves, and is it too late for the Rams now at 3-3 and chasing two pretty good-looking teams in the 49ers and the Seahawks in the NFC West? Can this turn them around?
Well, it's not too late, and I'm not going to say this trade turns them around. And I think you took a shot at Tom Telesco there, which I think was pretty – I thought it was a cheap shot myself, guys. because
he caught Tom that, man. He tried to slide that in there, Mort, and you caught it. Golly.
I'm just calling it like I see it, Mort. They don't make any bold moves.
Tom's – so what?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have the money. You have to have cash. Tom's hands are tied. You have to actually have actual cash.
I like Tom. I'm sorry. It was a cheap shot. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a bitter ex-Chargers fan. I've admitted it many times.
Okay, considering how Tom Telesco's hands are tied in terms of, okay, it's one thing to give up a draft pick, but then you got to have the cash to sign that player.
Yep.
And, you know, now listen, there's a lot of people around the league, and they know how good the Rams are. And nobody – I haven't talked to anybody who doesn't think they overpaid. I mean, in other words, everybody believes they overpaid for Jalen Ramsey. I mean, there's a lot of teams that wanted Jalen Ramsey, but they weren't going to pay that price. And, you know, so therefore, if it works out for the Rams, and there's a lot of reasons you say, hey, you should fix the offensive line, and that's absolutely true. And what you can do with those draft picks is not only could you actually multiply those picks by trading down and get some good offensive linemen to build, Les must have a plan, and I'm sure he does, to address that. In the meantime, your defense gets better. Maybe field possession gets better, and your offense is more effective that way. Yeah, it's a good division, but it's never too late. If you're 3-3 after six games, no, you're not too late. And my goodness, taking a cheap shot at Tom.
Well, let me apologize for my partner Ben Higgins. He is quite the shock jock here on San Diego Radio.
Well, it is morning radio, so I understand it. I understand the platform.
I'm loving this.
Hey,
Mort,
what was your take on the officiating disaster on Monday Night Football with the Lions and the Packers?
He's taking cheap shots at the refs now, Mort, as hard as they were.
On this matter, I want to hear your take, and I'll double it times five.
It's just
bad.
If you're the number one, you're the number one pro sports league in America, you know, arguably the world, you should be your officials should be just so unbelievably good, you know, training all year long. You can pay them whatever you want to pay them. I just am stunned that they make so many mistakes that they can't figure out how to fix the mistakes in a timely manner with replay, no matter what rule they put in. They seem to have the same problems every single year.
I think they're having more problems.
Yeah, more problems.
I think every remedy they make, and this last one about trying to correct the Rams-Saints call, I realize that's a noble movement to make sure that never happens again. You know, my feeling is, and it's the most remedial reaction you can get, is they say, hey, get the call right on the field. You know, that call, if you just make that call in that Saints-Rams game, we're not in this mess. I'll tell you what this mess did, and it's the coach's fault. And I have to blame Roger Goodell, too, and that's my opinion, because the competition committee was not going to go down this path. These subjective calls, and I think what's happened in terms of being subject to review, I think what's happened is officials are basically being told or basically, let the coaches use their challenges, these plays. Or I think they're inside their own on-field officials' heads so much that they've really kind of intimidated their own officials. I'm talking about the league.
Yeah.
The headquarters in New York. We've lost some really good experienced officials. You can make the argument all you want about full-time officials. I would be for that.
Yeah.
I say pay those guys. They never should have lost Dean Blandino. All they had to do was pay him big money. Do it. Don't be so cheap. And you have a guy who is actually, that replay system was made for Dean Blandino. And that's out of the mouths of more than one person in this league, and then Dean left for a better life and more money. Should never have let that happen. They keep trying to say we're going to get younger on the field because these players are too athletic. I got news for you. There's nobody out there young enough to be as athletic as these guys are on the field. So be in position and call what you see. Don't try to think you saw something and throw a flag. Call what you see. Trey Flowers, the hands to the face, you got to be kidding me. You didn't see that. You guessed that you saw that, and you threw the flag. And I do have a lot of respect for officials, but I blame this on the league and the league office and the changes that they made, and I blame it on the coaches that forced these changes down their throats at the owners' meetings.
We are talking to the great Chris Mortensen here on our Mort Report here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, 5 weeks ago, Mort, if we're looking at tonight's Thursday night matchup, we're like, blowout, Chiefs in a blowout. Chiefs shown a little bit of vulnerability the last couple of weeks. Pat Mahomes obviously hobbled right now. Should win this football game tonight on the road at Mile High.
Really?
Denver's playing a little bit better right now. But Pat Mahomes is, even a hobbled Pat Mahomes, I'm still going to bet on over the Broncos tonight. That's just me, but you're the analyst. You give me your opinion.
No, I need an analyst. I'm a reporter.
Yeah, fair enough.
So here's the thing: is I think the Broncos should be 3-2 or 4-1. So let's just say 3-2. That's a good, but a fairly above average 3-2 team that is starting to run the ball. And I think that they're going to be effective against the Chiefs tonight. Chiefs don't have linebackers. They can try all the fixes they want schematically. They have some problems. They have some injuries on the offensive line that are problematic. And Andy Reid, I think he'll correct it. We've had two straight games now where basically your defense is on the field for almost 40 minutes. You got to protect your defense and run the football yourself. I think it's a really close game. And I think if the spread is 3, yeah, it's 3 points. But I'm not saying it's 3 points going the Chiefs' way. It could be 3 points going the Broncos' way.
Well, if the Broncos do win tonight, the L.A. Chargers are alone in last place in the AFC West. Not that I care about such things.
That's a fair shot.
That is just objective fact. That's not even opinion. That's just true, Moore, if that happens. All right, last thing. You got to hype us up for Monday Night Football. I mean, why is this not going to be a blowout? Can Sam Darnold make this a competitive game against the Patriots? Is there a chance that the Jets knock off New England on Monday night?
All you have to do is go watch what happened with Sam Darnold, went back in the lineup and compare it to former Jet Luke Falk. I mean, the guy went from being a starter to being cut when Sam Darnold came back. Sam Darnold makes them better. He makes their offensive line a little better. But, you know, their receivers are better. I think Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon's actually played quite well. But you're playing the best defense in football, and it's not even close. So I'm not saying don't watch, but I would watch because Sam Darnold is special. He's going to be even better than I thought he was going to be. And I think that Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Jets, is going to have a plan against a Patriots offense that really has been suspect. So, I think Sam Darnold and what's going on with the Patriots offense versus the Jets defense and Greg Williams, it's worth watching.
Put a bounty out on Tom Brady. See how that goes over.
No.
All right, Mort. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Mort.
Thanks, Mort.
The Mort Report is presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name. Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
I think I love Mort more now than I ever have.
Yeah, get your ass kicked by Mort.
He's like my nemesis now.
Yeah,
I mean, no one gives me
now.
A harder time.
He does.
Than Mort when he comes on. He will challenge everything I say.
He hates you so much.
Which I love.
Much.
I love that. No,
so
I'm good with that. And then he started to, he went
got
with
me
you,
a little
though,
bit.
On the Broncos. Yeah, I don't know about
they
the
should.
Broncos.
They
yeah.
should. Maybe a little nervous.
I love that
I
Mort
love
is
Mort,
willing
man.
To. He pushes back at us more than any other guest that we have.
He does. He mixes it up.
All right. It is time right now to announce today's biggest fan. If you hear your name, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Win a 4-pack of tickets to the Halloween Bash at Viejas Casino and Resort. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan, and the brand new Atomic Saloon Show. Here we go. Jose Garcia Posadas. Jose Garcia Posadas, you are the biggest fan. You are now on the clock. 10 minutes to call us back. 833-288-0973. Good luck from Ben and Woods and 97.3 The Fan. Woodsy, did you see the sad story? I mean, undeniably sad story from the world of boxing.
I did.
This week.
Awful.
Boxer Patrick Day. Suffered brain trauma during a fight, I think, about over the weekend, a few days
yep.
ago, and died yesterday from his injuries.
Awful.
And it is awful. I know, I'm sure he has family and friends that are just devastated right now. But I sit and I see that story go over the ticker, and I see it on my ESPN headlines, and I don't really even blink an eye. I just think, okay, it's boxing. I mean, you get into the ring
knowing you could.
You know that could happen.
Yeah.
That is, you are, I mean, we wring our hands about football and concussions and CTE and even women's soccer and the brain trauma and the collisions of the heads and how dangerous sports are nowadays and how are we going to protect our kids and what are we going to do to make sports safer and, you know, is football going to survive? No one even really talks about boxing. If you get into the ring in boxing nowadays, you cannot tell me that you don't know the risks. At the very best, if you're going to be a long-term boxer, you know you're going to end up, you know, like Muhammad Ali or something like
yeah.
that. That is like the best-case scenario that you're still alive. But if your job requires you getting punched in the head repeatedly over and over again, am I supposed to sit here and talk about what a tragedy it is? How are you going to fix boxing? You're not going to fix boxing.
No, you're not.
There's no way to fix boxing and still have it be boxing.
It can be both. I mean, it can be a tragedy, and it is. It absolutely is a tragedy. 27 years old.
It is for his family and his friends.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can use the word tragedy when someone willingly chooses that as their career. And, I mean, it's not – a tragedy implies, in my mind – something unexpected, something surprising, something out of the blue a little bit.
It's a little surprising. I mean, it's not like it's something that happens every week, you know, or hell, I think maybe even every year. I think it's because you're a boxer. Yeah, you know that the – but I think
– Well, I mean, if this was another sport, we would be having – you know, blue ribbon panels to figure out what can we do to keep this from happening again. They're not going to do anything in boxing. They're going to keep hitting each other.
Keep boxing.
You know, someone's going to die. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's not for another 5 years. Hopefully it's not for another 10 years. Someone's going to get hit in the head the wrong way, and they're going to die.
Yep.
Because, you know, brains are brains. And when you get punched in the head a lot, this can happen. So it isn't one of those stories that I just say, I feel guilty about it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel,
this is you being honest.
I'm so cold blooded. I'm Ivan Drago.
You're
here.
Drago.
I'm Drago.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Well, the guy I feel worse, well, not worse for, I feel bad for the guy that died and his family, obviously.
Of course you do.
But the guy that did it, Conwell, what is his first name? Conwell. He wrote this on social media, Ben. I never meant for this to happen to you. All I ever wanted to do was win. If I could take it all back, I would. No one deserves for this to happen to them. I replay the fight over and over in my head, thinking, what if this never happened, and why did it happen to you? I can't stop thinking about it myself. I prayed for you so many times, shed so many tears, because I couldn't even imagine how my family and friends would feel.
All right, to me, that's the tragedy.
That's tragic,
if that guy,
man,
feels guilty, like, for the rest of his life, that's a tragedy, because
Charles Conwell.
There's no way he should. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You can't go into a box. Hey, I want to beat
you
this
don't
guy.
Go in there to
I
kill
want to
him.
Beat this guy to a pulp, but, well, you know, I got to be careful because I don't want to kill him. You can't be careful in a boxing ring. Oh, I've got a really good shot to his head. Should I pull up just a little bit so I don't hit him quite as hard as I possibly can? No, I mean, you're trying to knock the guy out. You're trying to knock him out. Knock him out means knock him unconscious, knock him to the ground so he can no longer control, like, his legs, and he falls to the ground. You've hit him so hard in the head. It's dangerous. It's boxing. That's just my little take on that story.
It's
cold.
The take of a serial killer.
It's cold. It is cruel. But if we really cared, you know,
we wouldn't box, I guess, right?
Well, there wouldn't be any boxing. Or we'd have, you know, blue ribbon panels. How are we going to fix it? Should they all wear headgear like Olympians? They're not changing anything. So why am I supposed to be here? I'm not going to be sitting here calling for boxing to change the rules to make it safer. If you want to box? Box. Go ahead. Free country. Just, you know, what's going to, you know, what could very well happen.
Yeah. I guess I feel bad, but that's just me.
You're such a good person.
I'm a human being.
Such a good person. All right, we got our baseball playoff analyst, Brett Boone, is going to be joining us as they try to get the ALCS resumed tonight after the rainout. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. For San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.